The science fiction thriller The Matrix was not only one of the biggest hits of 1999, it won a huge cult following for its fusion of existential philosophy, great martial arts, and groundbreaking special effects. The Wachowski brothers, who wrote and directed the film, took 4 years to make the second part of their Matrix trilogy, The Matrix Reloaded, and now their lines are on the block at your neighborhood multiplexes. Film critic David Edelstein has this review.
Okay, don't shoot the messenger. For one thing, I can't make bullets freeze in midair like Keanu Reeves as everybody's favorite computer geek turned messianic superhero, Neo, a.k.a. The One. For another, I'm on the side of Joe Moviegoer. I wanted The Matrix Reloaded to be just as religious an experience as the original. Let's say a word about that original before the really bad news. The Matrix was, above all, a kind of ontological mystery. How could Carrie Ann Moss, in that slinky black vinyl catsuit, suspend herself in midair, karate kick some guard, then scamper horizontally along the wall? Who were those dudes in the sunglasses and identical suits? Why did Neo's life feel so unreal? The answers first bent your mind, and then they blew it. They were all in a giant computer simulation, devised by machines to drain the energy from humans in a state of suspended animation. Okay, it sounds dumb, but the Wachowski brothers, Andy and Larry, exploited everything smart and trendy in postmodern science fiction and wedded it to everything smart and trendy in postmodern philosophy. They even gave a cameo to a book by Jean Baudrillard. Then they mixed in up-to-the-minute digital effects and Hong Kong martial arts so that each action scene was like an ontological, metaphysical leap forward. Plus, the movie kicked butt. So here's the word on the sequel. It stinks. It's an ugly, overblown, repetitive movie that builds to a punchline that should have come an hour earlier, then it ends when it should be getting going, with a teaser for Part 3, The Matrix Revolutions, coming in November to 8,000 theaters near you. Almost from the start, this one feels different. It's full of sequences that should be the coolest things ever, but they feel more like video games that can reset themselves when they're done. One ballyhooed sequence is entirely digital. It shows Neo fighting more than 100 incarnations of his old nemesis, Agent Smith. He sends one somersaulting into the far distance, does a backflip onto a wall, and sends another few in the direction of the camera, which is dive-bombing and swirling and whooshing around at speeds that would tear an ordinary camera apart. It looks real, but it doesn't have the impact of the real. Maybe that's because the minimal plot of this thing is essentially a video game. Neo goes back into the Matrix to find someone called the Keymaker, who can take him to the source, the inner core of the simulated universe. Each new level presents more kung fu adversaries and more fearsome obstacles. And if you're a champ, you get to the source. Now, Neo is a champ. He can even fly. The other characters joke that he's like Superman, but he's more like Super Priest. His long coat has been replaced by a black hassock with a high cleric's collar. He's a bulletproof monk. The Matrix is basically his playpen. He can look the way he wants, move the way he wants. He might even be able to bring back the dead. But his powers don't seem to turn him on. Neo is a dull, earnest kind of messiah, and Carrie Ann Moss's Trinity has lost that mysterioso S&M vibe and become rather mushy and maternal. It doesn't help that the pair get stuck for a while in the underground city of Zion, which is like a rusting shopping mall in hell. It's where all the unplugged humans go to plan their guerrilla uprisings against the machines. And here's an intriguing surprise. Most of them are African-American, Asian, or mixtures of sundry other races. And here's a depressing surprise. Listen to Lawrence Fishburne as Morpheus and Jada Pinkett Smith as Niobe, all good actors. Sound like the cast of Star Trek Deep Space Nine on a really bad day.
The machines are digging. They're boring from the surface straight down to Zion.
Mother.
They'll avoid the entire perimeter defense.
How fast are they moving?
Control estimates their descent at 100 meters an hour.
How deep are they?
Almost 2,000 meters.
What about the scans from the Osiris?
They can't be accurate.
They may be.
What?
It's not possible.
That'd mean there are 250,000 sentinels up there.
That's right.
That can't be.
Why not? A sentinel for every man, woman, and child in Zion.
That sounds exactly like the thinking of a machine to me.
Morpheus, glad you could join us.
Niobe. My apologies to all. But as you are undoubtedly aware, it has become increasingly difficult to locate a secure broadcast position.
Squiddy's got all our best spots.
Mainline with a crawling with them.
And if Niobe's right, in 72 hours, it's going to be 250,000 more.
What are we going to do about it?
We're going to do what Commander Locke ordered us to do. We'll evacuate broadcast level and return to Zion.
And does the commander have a plan for stopping 250,000 Sentinels?
A strategy is still being formulated.
Dull staging, tin-eared dialogue, bad acting, plus a slow-motion biblical orgy intercut with Neo and Trinity making love, you can almost see Cecil B. DeMille getting off in his grave. What went wrong? I think the Wachowskis have been pickling in their own self-importance for too long. When they made the original, they'd come off a terrific low-budget lesbian film noir called Bound, and they gave The Matrix a no-nonsense B-movie thrust. Here, almost every sequence goes on for too long, especially the climax, which is designed to look like the end of 2001 and seem just as cosmic. It does explode the biblical mumbo-jumbo that has preceded it, forcing us to rethink the meaning of the prophecies that have guided Neo's actions. But the knowledge isn't liberating this time, because the movie itself is so deadly. In the first Matrix, Neo broke through the artificial into the real. In The Matrix Reloaded, he breaks through into a really pretentious blockbuster with no transcendence in sight.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Julian Hertzfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Our researcher is Jessica Chu. Sue Swollen directed the show. For Terry Gross, I'm Barbara Bogave.